Blog Talk Radio.
When you walk with me, take my hand. When you walk with me with your mind, when you walk with me, take my hand. When you walk with me with your mind.
Good evening, Israel, family, listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Darrell of Beth Yahweh Congregation. It's been a while. It's been a while, family, since I've been had the opportunity to speak with you all. And I titled this particular segment, Here I Am, Accepting. I want to start off with a prayer. Merciful Father Yah, as we approach another Shabbat day, we ask of thee to open our hearts, open our minds, to receive the wonders of your word, bringing us closer to thee and thy Son, bringing us closer to your word so that we can demonstrate thy word, so that we can be a light to those that are in darkness. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us, but his commandments took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you who sanctified the Sabbath. Before we get into the teaching, I want to throw if everyone can hear me, send a text out letting someone know that I'm coming through loud and clear. Before we start the teaching, I encourage all who are in attendance to get your study tools, your Bible, your pens, your highlighters, your notepads, your iPads, your concordance, your dictionary, and all those study materials that you might need, so that you can take notes and follow along as we go through the scriptures on this evening. I think the last time that we had this session, I believe we were in the winter months. Now we're in the summer months. Winter months is really cold, and now we're in the summer months. And it's hot out there. It's a scorch out there. And as a believer, we go through different things. You know, we go through our different struggles when it's hot outside, when it's cold outside, and we also go through various struggles when it's hot outside, when we deal with that physical heat, you know. And we always have to be preparing ourselves. We always have to be protecting ourselves. We always have to armor up. And, you know, one of the, you know, sessions, the last session we was talking about, is the full armor. And we realize that, you know, Yahushua is that armor that we are putting on. But one of the things that we're going to go through tonight and dealing with acceptance, we have to realize that Yahushua is already in us. And we have to accept that he's in us, and we have to accept his word, so that that word can grow in us and he can live in us and shine forth. But we first have to accept. And that's where the title of this came from, Here I Am. And as I was going through, you know, my understanding of the word and walking with the word, this was one of the things that came to my mind, acceptance. And first thing came to my mind was Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. And this is actually dealing with Abraham. And as we know, Abraham is the father of faith. And Abraham was considered a friend of the Most High. And, you know, and another thing that we know about Abraham, that, you know, the father didn't do anything without, you know, letting his friend know. So we're going to start reading Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, and it reads, some years later, Yahweh decided to test Abraham. So he spoke to him. Abraham answered, Here I am. Here I am, mighty one. Yahweh said, Go, get Isaac, your only son, the one you clearly love. Take him to the land of Moriah, and I will show you a mountain where you must sacrifice him to me. on the fire of an altar. And I went here because this Here I Am, when you look that up in the concordance, that's 2009, and it means as Hine, or behold. And, you know, and I looked the word behold up, and it's to see, look upon, or gaze at, beheld a figure in the distance. It's also used in imperative to call attention. So one of the things that we are acknowledging here in regards to Abraham answering the Most High is that he acknowledged him, he's seen him. And we as believers, we have to see the Most High, perceive the Most High, perceive his word. And when we perceive his word and perceive him, then we know within ourselves that he exists. Because that's one of the things that he says. I mean, we have to believe that he exists. And the only way that we can believe that he exists is if we acknowledge him. And he has various ways that we show him that we acknowledge him. So there's some other scriptures that that have this same statement. Here I am. I'm gonna say them kind of slow so that you can write them down, because I didn't really go through all of them, because the Most High took me on a different route in regards to Here I Am. And these are just some scriptures that have that statement, and that's with the concordance number 2009. Because you also have Here I Am also with the concordance number 2005, and it basically has the same meaning. However, it's just spelled differently. Okay, we're going to go to take notes of these. There's, and I have little notes beside them. This is the calling of Abraham. That's Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. You also have in Genesis 22:11, where the same statement is used. Okay, then you also have, and I labeled this one, the deception of Isaac. And this is Genesis 27:1. And in this particular scripture, it is, here I am, but Isaac is calling for Esau. And Jacob answers and says, here I am. As we know in regards to that story, how Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. And so he was going to cash it in. Okay, now from here, I have a title, The Call to Jacob in Both a Dream and a Vision. And this is Genesis chapter 31, verse 11, Genesis chapter 46, verse 2. Same term, 2009, behold, Hine. Then we go to the call to Moses from the bush. And all these scriptures that I'm referring to are Yahweh actually calling to these individuals, except the one in regards to the deception of Isaac, where he was calling his son. And the call to Moses from the bush is Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. And then we have the call to Samuel while he was asleep. And as we know, Samuel was a child, and the father was calling him. And because he acknowledged the father, he got up and he went to Eli, who was the high priest at that time. And he thought that he was calling him, but in essence, it was the father. It was Yahweh calling to Samuel. And those scriptures are 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 4 to 8, and also 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 16. And then we also have another one where where we as individuals or individuals was calling out to Yahweh, and he replied, "Here I am." And that is in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 9. So I'm going to assume that I said them too fast, so I'm going to repeat them. Okay, the calling of Abraham, again, Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 2, and also Genesis chapter 22, verse 11. The deception of Isaac, Genesis chapter 27, verse 1. The call to Jacob in both a dream and vision. This is Genesis chapter 31, verse 11. Genesis chapter 46, verse 2. The call to Moses from the bush, Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. The call to Samuel while sleeping, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 4 through 8, and 1 Samuel 3, chapter 16. And the call out to Yahweh, where he responds, "Here I am," Isaiah chapter 58, verse 9. And that's dealing with the term hine, as behold. So another thing that, you know, talking about is acceptance. And so I looked the word acceptance, accept up, and it means to receive something offered willingly, to give attendance or approval to endure without protest or reaction, to regard as proper, normal, to recognize as true, and believe. So, behold, when we acknowledge the Father, when we accept him, these are the things that we're doing. We're receiving him willingly. We're giving acceptance and approval to him. We're enduring without protest or reaction, because we, as the scriptures say, we count the cost. To regard as proper, normal. And then another thing, when we deal with enduring without protest, we can go to our example, our Lord and our Savior and Redeemer, Yahushua, when they were persecuting him for not doing anything, how he did not resist, he did not protest. He just took it because he understood what he was here for. And that's the same thing that we as believers in Yahushua have to also do, because what we're doing, we're supposed to be showing him in this world system. So now we're going to go to some scriptures. So one of the things that, you know, in dealing with this, when go to the beginning, because one of the things that Paul say, he writes, everything that was written before time was written for our learning. So we have to go back to the original, or go back to the beginning, to understand why we are in the state that we're in. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And it reads, Yahweh created man in his own image. In Yahweh's image, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So from the beginning, you know, Yahweh created man in his image and after his likeness. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. And it reads, Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge and good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So I have a little footnote at the top, and I wrote, choice is implied. So Adam is given a command. He's given orders. He's given a rule. And so we go to this word. I stopped at this particular scripture, and I looked the word shall, S-H-A-L-L, shall. And it's a verb, and it means in the first person, express the future tense. It also expresses a strong assertion or intention. It also expresses an instruction or command. It's also used in questioning, indicating offers or suggestions. So right here, what is Yahweh telling him? You know, he's telling him or giving him instructions or commands on what he should not do. So, and what he's telling him not to eat of this tree. So we go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, and I got the heading, a decision was made. And it reads, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. So in this scripture right here, God highlighted, he ate. Why? Because I'm going back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, and it tells him, you shall not eat. But what did he do? He ate. So he was disobedient. So I have a little footnote after this where it says, humanity's mortality was shortened while perception was darkened after this choice. And one of the things that this choice caused to be in the world was dysfunction, dis-ease, and disobedience. These are elements that, because he ate, was put into the world. So from here, went to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And it reads, Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. His thoughts became evil continually. See, because one of the things we have to realize is that Adam didn't know exactly what he had. But we're slightly different. See, because we have the Torah to read, we have the Berit Hadashah, we have a lot of other materials that we today can review. As Paul say, everything was written before time was written for our learning. So we are in a slight different situation than Adam. So we don't have to be disobedient. We don't have to be dysfunctional. We don't have to be diseased. But we can make that choice to do these things. But the Father knows us. We're going to go to Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. And I'm going to read the second clause in this particular scripture. And it says, you have sinned against Yahweh. And be sure your sins will find you out. See, because when we go back to the garden, when Adam ate of that fruit and realized that he was naked and was ashamed, he tried to hide. But the Father knew where he was. Couldn't hide from the Father. So when we as believers, we out there sinning and we think no one sees us, the Father sees us. The Father sees us, and he's going to find us out. And he's going to show us our sin. But we want that mercy. So that's why he wants us to repent. From here, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read verses 50 and 53. And it reads, "Now, and I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yah, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortality must put on immortality." So with these scriptures, I go here to let you know that, you know, if we want to dwell with the Father, we have to get rid of the corruption that dwells within us. And we have that ability to get rid of that. We have to choose to want to get rid of it. We have to accept the ways of the Most High. We have to accept the examples that have been put forth to us through the prophets. But one of the things that we've learned through reading the scriptures is that Israel is always killing the prophets. They're killing the prophets. Why? Because they don't want to hear what the prophets got to say. Because of Israel don't want to do right. That's why he identified Israel as being a stiff-necked people, hard-headed and stiff-necked. He knows Israel. But he knows within Israel there are those who want, who thirst and hunger for the truth, who thirst and hunger, who wants to be servants of the Most High and do his will. We're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. And it reads, "But do not forget this one thing, beloved, that one day is with the Mighty One as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Mighty One is not slow concerning his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient with us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And I went here because we have to understand that when Adam was disobedient, the Most High made a way for him and said, "Hey, I'm going to give you an opportunity, I'm going to make a way for you to make it back into this kingdom." Because, you know, after he was disobedient, he got kicked out. He got kicked out and he was sent into the world and had to fend for himself, had to work, had to work for his food, work. Because when he was in that garden, he didn't have to do anything. He just had to tend the garden and make sure it was neat. From here, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2. And see, and this is what Adam went into, and this is what we're currently in. And it reads, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Yahweh will arise on you, and his glory shall be seen on you." What is his glory? We're going to go to 1 John chapter 1. Verse 4 and 5. And it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light that shined in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So as we know, who created man? Yahweh. Elohim created man. So that light of life came from Yahweh. And that light that dwells within man, darkness cannot overcome it. But we, as believers and we as humanity have to realize that the darkness that we have inherited from our father's disobedience is not totally obliterated, because we still have light in us. But we just have to choose to utilize that light to get rid of that darkness that's within us. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. And it reads, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Yahweh did. Seeing that his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That Spirit, that light that dwells within us. Those who walk after that light, that life. See, when we deal with that law, see, men thought that through constantly doing the law, that they could overcome sin. But we're dealing with that sacrificial system. And that sacrificial system did not solve anything. That's why the Messiah had to come and lay his life down for us. But do we believe that that's what he has done? We're going to go to Psalms 139, verse 1 and 2. And it reads, "Yahweh, you have searched me, and you know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You perceive my thoughts from afar." So now it's letting you know that Yahweh is personally involved in our lives. He knows us. Like earlier, he said he knows man's intentions and imagination. But now he's bringing it personal, bringing it to you as an individual, letting you know that he searches you and he knows you. And he perceives your thoughts from afar off. We're going to go to Isaiah 55, verse 69. And it reads, "Seek Yahweh while he may be found. Call you on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to Yahweh, and he will have mercy on him and to Almighty One. For he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh." See, Yahweh understands and knows that we are wicked. He knows our state. But he also wants us to get right. He wants us to put off that wickedness. He wants us to put off that unrighteousness and allow that light that dwells within us to burn brightly and cause us to do right, so that he can pardon us for our shortcomings. Now we're going to go to Genesis chapter 18. Verse 19. And Father took me here because one of the things, like, we started off with Abraham. And with Abraham, he said this. And I have a little footnote here. Abraham teaches his son. And it reads, "For I have known him to the end, that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the ways of Yahweh, to do righteousness and justice, to the end that Yahweh may bring on Abraham that which he has promised, which he has spoken of him." So when we go here, he said he's going to teach his children and his household. So that means that he taught his children and also those individuals that were in his household. Abraham was a man of wealth, and he had servants. And that means he taught his servants the things of Yahweh also. So from here, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 7. And I have a footnote here also saying how teaching children became a commandment. And it reads, "Hear Israel, Yahweh is our mighty one. Yahweh is one. And you shall love Yahweh, your mighty one, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I command you this day shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your houses, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Let you know that this teaching of Yahweh, these teachings of his righteousness, we're supposed to teach them to our children. Because if we teach them to our children, what are we doing? We're equipping the next generation with the knowledge of Yahweh. Because, and we're letting them know about that light that dwells within them, that light of Yahushua, that light of life. Because as we know, disobedience or sin is the breaking of the law. And the wages of sin is death. But we want to get rid of the sin. We want to get rid of this corruptible nature of ourselves. And the only way we can do this is by cleaving to the law, statutes, and judgments, cleaving to the word, putting forth righteousness and doing right, being obedient, choosing to do right, choosing to do it, because we willingly want to do it. Then we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33 and 34. And right here, I have personal involvement. See, because when the laws was first written, they were written on stone. And these stones, and people could look up to it and, you know, make decisions whether they was going to do it or not do it or things of that nature. But now, after we read this, it becomes personal. He's personally involved with you as an individual and understanding his laws, statutes, and judgments. And it reads, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my laws in their inward parts, and in their heart will I write it. And I will be their mighty one, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin will I remember no more." So from here, I went to Leviticus chapter 26, verse 12, and it reads, I will walk among the, I will walk among you, and I will be your mighty one, and you will be my people. See, he's making it personal. From here, I went to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And it reads, for in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily, and in him you are made full, who is the head of all principalities and power. So when we read in the scriptures how the fullness, how the word of Yahweh and the thoughts of Yahweh became flesh. And how was that? That was Yahushua was the embodiment of the Father. How do we know that? You know, one of the disciples that was with him questioning him about the Father. And he said to them, well, when you see me, you see the Father. And he also said to them that I do nothing of my own will, but I do it because of the will of my Father. So he was showing the example of the Father through his obedience to him. So from here, we're going to go to John chapter 14. We're going to read verses 16 and 17. And it reads, I will pray to the Father. This is Yahushua speaking. I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another counselor, that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it does not see him, neither knows him. You know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and teach you all things, and will remind you of everything I have told you. So this is that Spirit that we perceive in our mind. And that Spirit will continue to light that flame that dwells within us and cause that light in us to shine brightly. And that Spirit will also remind us of the Word, of the examples. See, going back to that point that was said earlier, everything was written before time was written for our learning. But the question is, do we believe it? The question is, do we accept it? And if we accept it, then that means we will follow it. We will not protest. We will do it willingly. From here, we're going to go to Acts chapter 17, verse 27. And I have a footnote in regards to this, and it says, Paul is informing unbelievers of the ways of the Father. Because as we know, Paul's mission was to go to the Gentile nation. And as we know, the Gentile nation is all the nations that are outside of Israel. And so he was bringing them to the truth of Israel, to the truth of the Torah, to the truth of Yahushua, because they had no knowledge of them. Because Yahweh said, I only revealed myself to Israel. So all other nations that were out there did not have any clue of who Yahweh was. But Paul went to these individuals. And that the scripture reads that they should seek Yahweh if perhaps they might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far off from each one of us. This is another another way of letting you know that the Father is not far off. Yahweh is not far off. Yahushua is not far from us. He's not. He's close at hand. Actually, he's within us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And it reads, "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but nurture them in the discipline and instructions of Yah." What are the instructions? That's the Torah. What are we nurturing them in? Righteousness, the fruits of the Spirit. We're not supposed to provoke the children to make them angry, but encourage them and strengthen them and show them through our examples. From here, we're going to go to Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. And it reads, "For out of the heart come forth evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual sins, theft, false testimonies, and blasphemies." And this is giving back to our thinking, because that's what he's talking about, from out of the heart. It's not the thing that pumps blood. The heart is your thinking, the seat of intellect. And as we learned earlier, how the thoughts of man is deceitful and wicked. And these are the works of that wickedness. Jeremiah 17:9 reads, "The heart is deceitful above all things and is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it?" Who can know it? Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, that you may not do the things that you desire." Just letting you know about that constant war that's going on within us, that's causing us to go contrary to what we actually want to do. But we have to put on the fight. We have to put the fight in. We have to put in the work. We have to study. We have to endure. Romans chapter 7, verse 23. And it says, "But I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is in my members." See, that fleshly man wants to sin, but that spiritual man wants to be righteous and do right. So we, as individuals, we're fighting within ourselves, but we have to grab that light. We have to look to that light that dwells within us, which will assist us in becoming righteous. See, because Yahushua sends that spirit back to help us, to give us that truth, to help us along. But do we believe that? From here, I'm going to read it, go to James chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. And in the translation that I read, I think it's the World English Bible, it has a heading at the top of this. It says, "Warring against pride." And that's from verses 1 to 6. And it reads, "Where does war and fighting among you come from? Don't they come from your pleasure, that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You kill, covet, and cannot obtain. You fight and make war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it for your pleasure. You adulterers and adulteresses, do not you know that the friendship with the world is enmity with Yahweh? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of Yahweh. Or do you think that the scriptures say in vain? The scripture, the spirit who lives in you, yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, Yahweh resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Read a couple of scriptures. I'm going to stop here at verse 5. I've got a couple of scriptures to connect with that. We'll go to Numbers 23, verse 19. And it reads, "Yahweh is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good?" 2 Corinthians, another scripture in connection to James 4, 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. "What agreements can exist between the temple of God, of the temple of Yah, and idols? For where are the temples of the living mighty ones? As Yahweh has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their mighty one, and they will be my people." And we're going to go to James again, chapter 4. We're going to go to verse 7. And then this one, in this Bible, it has a heading above it. And it reads, "Draw near to Elohim." And it reads, verse 7, "Be subject, therefore, to Elohim, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to Elohim, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Let your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he will exalt you. Do not speak against one another, brothers. He who speaks against a brother and judges his brother speaks against the law and judges of the law. But if you judge the law, you are not doers of the law, but a judge. Only one is the lawgiver, who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge another?" From here, I went to Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. And it reads, "For Yahweh is our judge, Yahweh is our lawgiver. Yahweh is our king. He will save us. From here, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 15. And it reads, "For Yahweh, your Elohim, in the midst of you, is a jealous mighty one, lest the anger of Yahweh, your Elohim, be kindled against you, and he destroys you from the face of the earth." First John chapter 2, verse 15. "Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the Father's love is not in him." Romans chapter 12, verse 2. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is good, well-pleasing, and the perfect will of Elohim." So family, as we go through these scriptures, I press upon you all to go back and read some, go back and go over them and see how acceptance of Yah's word, acceptance of that light that dwells within us, acceptance of that spirit that Yahushua sends back to us to assist us, to lead and guide us into all righteousness. The acceptance that we say to ourselves that we wish to serve Yahweh, that we wish to be a servant of him, that we wish to be obedient. And if we say these things, what did he say? He said, "I will be there with you. I'm walking amongst you. I'm right there with you. I'm helping you out." We read in the scriptures and on many occasions how he told the men that accepted him that, "I will go down before you and clear the way for you." He said, "I'll fight your battles for you." And he will. But we have to do our share. We have to do our part. And we first do it in our minds. As we say, we have to renew our minds, getting rid of that old filth, allowing that spirit to remove it from us. Because we want to get rid of that corruptible man that dwells within us so that we can be incorruptible, so that we can go to the kingdom. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10. It reads, "Ye are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, with my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no mighty one formed, neither will there be after me." Sorry about that, family. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. It reads, "To the law and to the testimony." If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So as we travel down the road of life, and we sit and we talk with those in whom we come in contact with, and if they are speaking about the word, speaking about Yeshua, but they're not speaking according to his word, they're not speaking according to that law, that means that the corruption that dwells within them snuffed out that light that dwells in them. See, because as we build ourselves in the law and testify about how we keep in the law, keeping the word of Yah, that light that's in us burns bright and shines forth. And this is my concluding scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. And it reads, I thank Yah, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a pure conscience, how unceasing is my memory of you and my petitions night and day. So family, as we prepare ourselves to enter into our Sabbath rest, may this appetizer that you've been given open your mind to another aspect of being a believer. And being a believer because you accept the truth of his word, because you accept his son, because you accept what he has done for us. And because you accept these things, you're taking on the task of allowing Yahushua to live among you, with you. And as we live with Yahushua, we must put away our selfish desires, seeking our own pleasures. Because as we seek our own pleasures, we separate ourselves from him. So family, and once again, I must thank Yahweh for allowing me to be come before you all and give a message of acceptance. And you're accepting him. You're accepting his word. You're accepting the people in whom he has chosen to minister his word to you. Because he says, I'm with you. He's with us. And he wants us to do well. Father, we thank thee for meeting with us on thy Sabbath day. We thank thee for protecting us throughout the course of this week. We thank thee, Father, for choosing us to walk in your ways and walk in your truth. We thank Yahushua, for laying his life down for us. Father, as we come before thee, we ask of thee to apply your Sabbath blessing to those who are not feeling too well, both physically, mentally, emotionally. We ask of thee to soften their heart and bring them closer to thee. For you are the healer of all ailments. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. Shalom, family. May everyone have a peaceful slumber.